Welcome to PDX Bluescast. Show number 29 is coming up. Greetings, everybody, and welcome to PDX Bluescast. My name is Pat McDougall. I'm your host for this musical podcast in which we showcase the amazing blues music originating from right here in Portland, Oregon and the surrounding area. Well, I'm back, and I'm really happy to be able to say that I am indeed back, and it was a long time away. It seems oddly, you know, it kind of seems like I won't say only yesterday, but very recently, that I posted the last show, which was a preview for the Waterfront Blues Festival. That's the beginning of July. And sometime after that, as I noted on the site, my father passed away, and it created a period of kind of needing to come to grips with that and bounce back from that. And so I have taken a little time off. But during that time off, after posting the note that I did on the site about what was going on with me, I was, I don't know what I expected. I didn't really expect anything, I guess. I was surprised, bowled over, overwhelmed, you choose your word, by the notes that I received in response to that news. People posted comments on the blog, they emailed me. And all of it, just, you know, just wonderful sentiments and things that, you know, of course you know that there are nice, generous, thoughtful people out there, but it's times like that that it really is brought home to you that, that you know, people are just good. One note that stands out is someone I'd never heard from before in regard to the podcast, but someone named Ken posted a note on the site, and he said, as a listener to your show, I consider you a friend. Thank you for all you do to keep the blues alive. Sorry for your loss was how he started out. And it was just, you know, what a nice thing to say. And we're connected by, you know, a silly RSS feed and MP3 files and things. But without doubt, there's a connection there. And so I won't dwell on this too much, but I will say once again a big, big thank you to those of you who took a moment to send a message of sympathy to me. I really, really, truly appreciate it. And then thanks also to those of you who've been patient and allowed me to work through this and have come back. If you have come back, I guess you have if you're listening right now. Thanks for coming back and continuing to listen to the show. I do have big plans, more stuff to do, more music to play, and so I do intend to keep doing PDX Bluescast for some time. Now, we'll switch gears to something just borderline humorous that happened while I was on hiatus, let's say. We got reviewed, and I only discovered this by looking at the statistics for the site and seeing who was linking from where. And there's a site called bluesinlondon.com, and not surprisingly, it focuses on blues music in London, England. And so that's interesting in itself. They ought to have a podcast, actually, you know, but as far as I know, they don't. But it's an information site, a resource site for blues music going on in the London area. And they did a feature article on blues podcasts. Somebody on staff there wrote kind of a roundup of this new phenomenon of podcasting and where you could listen to good blues music through podcasts. The woman who wrote the story decided to focus on three podcasts to review. I have no idea what influenced her to choose out of the, you know, hundreds there. I don't know that there are hundreds of blues podcasts, but there are many, I'm guessing. Anyway, out of all those, she chose the three that she chose, and one of them was PDX Bluescast, which is, you know, something that's specific to a certain area. And I honestly can't tell. You'll have to tell me if you feel like taking the time. Check the show notes for this episode up on the site at www.pdxbluescast.com. I'll have a link there to this feature article. You tell me if she likes my podcast or dislikes my podcast. I'm not sure. I can tell with reasonable certainty where she thinks we can improve, and I'll only read you this brief quote. She says, on closer inspection, Pat McDougall has a slight personality disorder. He will not stop talking. I'll leave you to read the rest of that. But she comments on one show when I talked about opening my window so you could hear the rain falling. And that didn't work out on that particular show, and she notes that I seem sad after that. I mention that only because my windows are open today, just because it's a nice day. I think you might have heard the birds chirping a little while ago. You might also hear some distant construction noise, and that's not so conducive. But here I am talking, and so I am going to have to watch that. And you let me know if you agree with her. If I talk too much, let me know. I won't promise to make changes, but I'd love your feedback. But let's get to some music. And where we left off with show number 28 was, it was right before the Blues Festival. And there was so much promise there. And it was a fantastic Blues Festival. It was 5 days of, you know, top-notch music, and certainly the Portland area itself was well represented. There were a lot of local folks playing, and I made a point of catching everybody that I could. Let's see, I only did, it turns out, like two what you could actually call interviews. You're going to hear one of those today. But I'd like to start off with some music first. And so one of the real notable performers at the festival this year was Joe McMurray, and, who played just a really cool set of kind of his brooding down-tempo. Not down-tempo, that's not the word. But anyway, he has a very unique signature style of blues, and he's a consummate guitar player and does a wonderful job. And he has a, if not a brand new CD, a very recently new CD, and it's called Rain of Days. And I would like to play a tune from that to get us into the show. And so we're going to do that, and imagine yourself at a hot stage at the Blues Festival, the sun beating down, and Joe up there with his bassist and drummer as well, banging away on this tune. Here we go. This is Joe McMurray with Broken Window Blues.
Breaking down my window, burning out my flame. You know, this morning doesn't feel the same. Not 'cause I don't ever, no. Not 'cause I don't ever, no. All the people in town,
and you're listening to Portland's finest blues on the PDXBluesCast.com.
Hey, thank you, Joe. That was Joe McMurrian, straight from the grounds of Tom McCall Waterfront Park, right there in the thick of the Waterfront Blues Festival back in July. And you just heard a cut from Joe's latest CD called Rain of Days. That song is called Broken Window Blues. And the whole CD, just like the one before it called Dredge, is great material. Some of it that brooding stuff that I mentioned before, other tunes kind of up-tempo like that one you just heard. And there's a great one about an old dog that Joe had called I Had a Bog Dog. So you got to pick up this record. And of course, there are links in the show notes at pdxbluescast.com to where you can pick up your own copy, which I highly recommend you do. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I did get a couple of artist interviews during the festival. I wanted to get more, but logistically, it was a bit more of a challenge than I anticipated, although, based on my experience during the festival, I have some ideas for strategies, I guess, for trying to get more interviews next year, and so you've got that to look forward to. But I do want you to hear one of them that I did at the festival, and it's with Steve Chesper, who's a recent Portland transplant, had lived in Memphis, Tennessee for several years, and you'll hear some about that in the interview. But Steve is an interesting guy, and his approach to playing the blues is very interesting, and I think kind of unique. And so I think we should hear him talk about that, and I hope you enjoy this. Here we are talking with Steve Chesper down on the waterfront.
Okay, this is Pat McDougall. We're here at the Blues Festival on Sunday, right? July the 2nd, with Steve Chesper. And Steve just played a set with his Ho-Hoppa's Jug Band. And earlier than that, he was at the workshop stage doing a great set of blues from way back. And so welcome,
right.
Steve.
Well, thank you. Oh, and tomorrow I'm doing one more thing out here. It's called Delta Blues Today with two of my buddies from Mississippi who are going to be up here. Eden Brent, a singer and piano player who won the National Blues Competition this year. And Eddie Cusick, who is a, I guess the term real deal. Plus, he's an elderly blues man from the Mississippi Delta who still plays an acoustic guitar. It's interesting that most older blues artists in the South, you might go down there thinking you're going to see people sitting around on their porches playing acoustic guitars, but it's pretty much all electric.
Really?
Now,
okay.
But he just plays acoustic. He did have a band in his younger days, but anyway, that's going to be a treat seeing him up here. If you want to see like a definition of what is a blues man, he looks the part, sounds it. Yeah, he's just
nice.
Great. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
All right, we'll be there for that. So talking about you, tell us your focus in the music that you play.
I like the early blues, and some people think like that means Robert Johnson. I do some Robert Johnson numbers. He's kind of the poster boy for the what's sometimes called country blues. I say early blues because a lot of it was actually recorded in cities, but the term country blues does sort of make sense. It usually means an acoustic guitar, usually one person or a small ensemble, and it's music that was recorded basically in the 1920s and 30s, commercially recorded in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
Called it Race Records. And I'm just fascinated with that. So actually, Robert Johnson, it's kind of good. He's an entry point for a lot of people who have found out about him, and they might have one blues record or one country blues record in their collection is by Robert Johnson. That's great, but there are dozens and dozens of more great artists from his era and earlier. He was actually toward the tail end of this great blues period. And then recording kind of stopped during World War II for various reasons. And then when it started up again, the music had changed. Yeah, electric instruments and combos really made it different. That it's not just you do the same thing on an electric guitar. Like it didn't really translate. It's a different type of blues that comes out after the war. So that sometimes people call it pre-war blues. But anyway, that's my focus. I just love this music, and I love not only playing it, but learning about it, writing about it, telling people not only how to play it. I teach some people how to play it, but also teaching about the context of the music. Even when I'm playing at a festival, I love when there's a workshop stage or something.
Yeah.
But even if I'm playing in a bar or restaurant, if people seem interested, I'll try to slip in as much of the stories, the history, the information about the artists, all the stuff that brings you back into that world so you can get more out of the music.
You've still got your educational agenda going, even in the bar scene.
Yeah, try to. Oh, and also, the music was recorded mostly on 78 records, and they became scratchy. They actually sound good if you hear a good condition 78 on a good condition phonograph. They actually sound great, but most of them have gotten scratched up. And even if you go out and buy a CD, I mean, it's great now. You don't have to be a 78 collector to hear all this music.
Right.
Pretty much everything's been reissued on CDs. However, they just take the same 78, the best one that the record company can find, and if it was an obscure record, there only might be one or two known copies of this record. So even if it's really scratched up, that's all they have to work from.
Right.
So even the CD, you're going to hear going on in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's hard, if you're used to listening to modern recording, to listen. Even though it's wonderful music, they're just put off by that.
Right.
So what I try to do in my... Yeah, I don't do anything creative. I'm not using the blues as a jumping off point to express my inner pain or anything like that.
Because you don't have any.
Right. I'm trying to just recreate this wonderful music that these men and women made. And so you can hear it, and I can even hear it better than what you can hear on those old 78s.
Right.
More like what, you know, if Charlie Patton or Robert Johnson or Memphis Minnie were here in front of us, they wouldn't sound with all those scratches.
No.
They'd be loud and clear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I try to kind of play it as closely as I can and sing it and get all the words. Sometimes that's a chore, just listening to it over and over to get the words, the fingerings, the tuning. Sometimes they use strange tunings on the guitar.
Yeah.
It's kind of like some people like to read mysteries. I like to listen to these old records and try to figure out what the heck they're doing.
That's cool. Now, and I'm a musician but not a guitarist, and so what fascinates me listening to this acoustic blues, and I have said I listen to a lot more acoustic blues than I used to because I'm doing this podcast, which is great. It's been an eye-opener for me. But what strikes me about this music, and you can tell me if I'm right, that it's a trait that's particular to the pre-war music, is that songs, chords alone wouldn't tell the story of a song. A song like the one you played at it was with the Dime.
One dime,
yeah.
Blind Lemon Jefferson.
That if you simply had the chords to that song, that wouldn't teach you to play the song. There's a rhythmic pattern.
Very good point. This is challenging music. It's funny because, yeah, like, I teach a course at the community college sometimes, Portland Community College, and despite the description, I guess people just think, oh, blues, that's easy. That's only three chords. Everyone kind of knows that it's three chords. So I think there's a lot of people who maybe have failed at other types of music, and they think, oh, I can handle that.
Maybe blues
so they
work,
come
yeah.
and they, a lot of them maybe drop out after. I've learned not to take it personally when they drop out and they see what's expected of them because it's very challenging music. It's more difficult than the more modern blues. A lot of people think the opposite. It must have started simple and developed, but no, art is not like technology. It doesn't necessarily go from simple to more complicated.
True. So
it's actually easier to play an electric lead guitar when you got a whole band roaring behind you to play one note and it sounds great and everybody's cheering. On this, you got to be keeping the bass. Your thumb is the bass player. Your other fingers are the chords and the lead. You're singing too, and you're keeping the foot stomping the floor with your feet. It's all you. It's very challenging music to get it all together and make it sound good. So yeah, if somebody wants to learn, I say they should have a certain amount of knowing the chords and being able to keep a beat, have some kind of background first.
Right.
It's not really for beginner, but it's very satisfying when you do get a song like this together because it is all, you don't have to imagine or wait till you get a drummer and a bass player to make it sound like the record. You can do it all yourself.
Right. You know? At times it's almost Baroque, the structure of those songs and the way that, you know, and that's as deep as I can go into it, but listening to you play it, it just strikes me and others, you know. Lauren is one, and
Terry Robb,
of course, yeah.
Lloyd Jones, Mary Flower. Yeah, we actually have a lot of good acoustic blues guitarists in this town. Joe McMurrian.
Right.
I'm probably leaving a few out, sorry. But
yeah, you always do that. We really seem to
have a lot. This is a good town for acoustic music in general, and acoustic blues, there's quite a few people doing it. I try to do it very, very authentically. Yeah, some people use it to take the song as a basic and they interpret it their own way or something, which is fine if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any creativity or any need of any burning issues inside me that I need to get out. I'm just trying to recreate this music like kind of like classic. I think of it as classical music. Yeah, some people, they talk to me, they say, do you write songs? I say, no, I haven't really found a need to do that. And they think that's strange. But if you met somebody who was a classical pianist and he plays Chopin and Mozart, you probably wouldn't even ask him, do you write? You know,
no.
You accept that he's studying this classical form and trying
that's
to
right.
bring that to life. Well, that's really what the way I think blues is America's classical music. Actually, Morgan Freeman told me that once, and I agreed.
Wow.
That in this country, they make a big deal over European classical music. They don't make such a big deal over our own classical music, which is the blues, you know.
Yeah.
So that's
bingo.
That's how I treat it, really.
That takes me to the $64,000 question. What brought you to Portland? All these great acoustic players. Or was that it?
No, actually, it was a woman.
No,
again. The usual motivator for a blues man to move either toward one or away from one. I moved
okay.
toward one who I had met a year. Let's see. What's it been? Almost 2 years ago. I met her when I was on tour up in this area.
Okay.
And I played up the Port Townsend, Washington Country Blues Workshop and Festival. And I had a few gigs in Portland. And met Thais Medaglia, and we stayed in touch. And she came down to visit me a couple times down south, and we did that thing. And finally she came down. She literally came down to get me.
Wow.
I kept saying, okay, I'll move. It was easier for me to move because I don't have a regular job. But I kept stalling, saying, yeah, I still got a few more things to do. I think she got the idea that she was going to have to drag me up here. So she flew one way and helped me pack up and move up here.
Is that right?
A little over a year ago.
Yeah. Oh, there's a song in that, you got to admit.
Yeah, I might have to write one.
Eventually. On cool. Anything else you want to tell our listeners, the Portland Blues fans?
Let's see. Oh, yeah, the blues camps are a great thing, like that Port Townsend Country Blues Workshop. Mm. If you're interested in learning to play or sing, yeah, it's not only guitar playing the blues.
Okay.
I mean, well, yeah, I sing and play harmonica on some songs and percussion on some. And a piano, of course, is a big part of the country blues, too. I mean, I don't play piano. I do a few songs that were originally piano pieces that I interpret for the guitar. But, yeah, if you're a piano player or want to learn the piano, that's another way to get into the blues. And, of course, you don't have to play it. It's fine to be a listener and appreciator.
Yep,
of the music, too. We got a lot of festivals around here, including this one. Terrific. Yeah, look for the smaller stages when you go to this festival or other ones. Yeah, some people are like, well, who's playing? Who are the headliners? They tend now, and a lot of blues festivals around the country now have an acoustic stage, they'll call it. And sometimes it's not all acoustic. Sometimes it's just small electric acts.
Yeah.
But those seem to be the more interesting things. And, yeah, don't think of that as the less important part of it, and just go to, you know, let the crowd go see the headliners and go find your way to the smaller stages. You'll hear more interesting music. You'll be able to interact more with the artists. It's
that's true too.
And if you're interested in this country, but they tend to put us, some artists think we're being ghettoized by being placed on this small stage. I don't mind. I think it's cool playing like at the workshop stage here. I just love, that's my kind of
It seemed like you enjoyed it.
There. Yeah, I mean, that's how this music started, of course, in a little juke joint, not up on a big stage all by yourself there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's not that I mind playing on a big stage either, but go, as a listener, go check out the smaller stage. I think you'll have a great time.
Cool. Steve, thank you so much for being part of the show.
You're welcome.
Enjoyed it. Okay.
Steve Chesbro from the waterfront. I want to thank Steve profusely for tolerating me and for talking with us and enlightening us on his approach to the blues. It was a great conversation, and when I attended his performance in the workshop stage, It was transfixing. It was really something to watch and hear him bring those old styles of acoustic blues to life. Very enjoyable. And so if you get a chance to see Steve live, you definitely should get out and do that. Now, I wanted to play a bit of Steve's music. That's only appropriate since you've listened to him talk about it a little bit here. And I chose a song that for me is representative of what I was talking about, admittedly a little awkwardly and a little vaguely, but I think he understood what I was saying. This issue of how some of this acoustic blues music has a real defined structure to it. Like I said, it's almost Baroque, and that's probably the wrong word, but that it's not just strumming chords. There are patterns and structural elements to these songs. And this song is one, if I could have found a recording of him doing the song we mentioned specifically, One Dime, I would have done that. But this song, I think, is representative of that as well. And so this is something from Steve's CD, Ham Hocks and Gravy, and the song is called Old Devil. And so listen for that, or just, you know, don't listen for anything and just enjoy it. Here's Steve Chesbro.
Look up, old devil, see what's on your shelf. Well, look up, old devil, see what's on your shelf. Look up, old devil, see what's on your shelf. Get some soap and water, man, and wash your wicked self. My woman, well, with a rope and a line. Say, I touched my woman, ooh, with a rope and a line. I touched my woman, well, with a rope and a line. Ain't no joke, no lie this time, till she went stone.
This is Steve Chesbro, and you're listening to PDXBluescast.com.
All right. Thank you, Steve. You just heard Steve Chesbro from his CD called Hammocks and Gravy, and the song was Old Devil. I hope you heard what I was talking about in terms of those structural things, or that you just totally disregarded that and simply enjoyed the music. Either way, if you don't own this CD, it's one that you should have, and you can follow the links on our website to where you can pick up your own copy. So be sure you do that. Now, someone else who was also at the festival was Big Monty, otherwise known as Monty Amundsen, and he played an absolutely smoking set with Boyd Small on drums. Boyd is someone who was a Portland native for some time, but who has since relocated to Amsterdam, but he comes into town on occasion to play with Monty and perhaps others, I don't know. He also had a bassist whose name I don't know, at least off the top of my head, and then he had Henry Moore from Seattle on guitar, and so the four of those guys, they just played a really commanding set of very powerful music that stood easily, you know, on the same level as some of the national acts that were there. It was a great set. And a couple shows ago, I did feature a couple of tunes from Big Monty's latest record, although they released one or announced one. They were selling it at the Blues Festival, and I have yet to get a copy of that. But Big Monty has a CD called Big Monty, and I've played a couple tunes from that. But I want to dip right now a bit into history. Big Monty led a very influential Portland blues rock band called the Bluebinos. a few years back, and they recorded at least five records, perhaps more. I want to play for you a tune. It's time that we went electric a little bit here, right, after a couple of acoustic cuts. And so we're going to do that in a big way with some music from Monty Amundsen and the Blue Binos. This is from an album they released in 1997, I believe. Yeah, and it's a tune called Four in the Morning. Enjoy this slow blues.
Thank you. this is Bonnie Amundsen, and you're listening to Portland's Finest Blues on pdxbluescast.com.
All right, there he is, the man himself, Big Monty, also from the Waterfront Blues Festival. And you just heard Four in the Morning by Monty Amundsen and the Blue Binos from their 1997 album entitled Man on the Floor. That is available through CD Baby, and you'll find links on pdxbluescast.com to where you can get your own copy. And there's some great stuff there, great guitar and vocals by Monty. So look into that. Now, here's something kind of cool, and it makes me feel good about doing this show. Some of you, most of you perhaps already know that I have a little phone number on the website that you can dial if you want to leave me a voicemail to get in touch with me that way rather than leaving a comment on the site itself or sending email. If you call 206-203-3PDX, that's 206-203-3739, you can leave a voicemail message, which I will then eventually hear. But I want to play you a message that I just received a little while ago.
Hey, this is Pete Carnes. I'm just calling to thank you guys for playing my music and to let you know that I'm doing great and I'm just starting to play again. And it was good. Somebody turned me on to you guys. I looked you up and, wow, thanks.
How about that? That's Pete Carnes calling in from Florida to let us know that he's doing better and he's actually getting back to playing some music. Now, those of you who have been longtime Portland Blues fans will recognize Pete's name, and I've played him on the podcast, but he was somebody who was active in the scene here and really, you know, kind of paved the way for a lot of people to come in the 70s with the Pete Carnes Blues Band. And he eventually, I think because of getting married, he moved out to Florida and for some time was out there driving a truck for a living. A couple of years ago, he had a serious car accident, a truck driving accident, I should say, and was quite seriously injured. And there was real concern about whether he would survive. It took him some rehabilitation, some time in the hospital, but he's recovered. And as you can hear from that message, he has recovered enough over the last couple of years to consider getting back into playing music. And I count that as really great news. And I want to say a big, big thank you to Pete for getting in touch and letting us know. That's just so huge. I really appreciate it. That came in around the end of July. And unfortunately, with the delay in the show, I'm not able to talk about it until just now, but I was very floored to receive that. And again, thanks to Pete. And as a special thank you, let's hear something from the Pete Carnes Blues Band from back in the day. This is a transfer from vinyl, so apologies in advance for the quality, but boy, the musicianship comes through. This is the Pete Carnes Blues Band with Walkin' Blues.
This morning looking around for my shoes, you know I had them go down walking blue. Yeah, I woke up this morning and I looked around for my shoes. Yeah, I really, really had them. Yeah, I had them walking blue. Some people tell me walking blues ain't so bad. The worst of thank you.
head down to her toe. She'd break a dollar anywhere she'd go. Yeah, she hands and movement from her head down to her toe. Yeah, she'd break in on a dollar anywhere that woman
go. That's the Pete Carnes Blues Band with Walkin' Blues. That comes from their 1977 LP entitled Shot and a Back. And boy, on that record, oh, I don't have it all in front of me, but you got Paul Jones on drums, who's Lloyd Jones' brother and played with many people over the years, including Paul DeLay and others. You have Bobby Parsons on guitar, Kellen Tarbett on the bass, and Bob Martin, I believe is his name, on the guitar, playing the slide guitar in that tune. So, hope you enjoyed that. Again, a big congratulations out to Pete and continued good health. And boy, Pete, if you produce anything new in the way of recordings, get in touch with us and let us know. We'd love to play them on the show for that, you know, quasi-remote Portland connection. It would be great to have some new Pete Carnes material. That's going to do it for this edition of PDX Blues Cast, show number 29. And yeah, it was kind of all over the place with some music, some interviews. I hope you enjoyed it, though, and I hope to see you next week when we'll have more cool material to play for you. This is the part of the show where I beg, plead, exhort you to go out and hear some live blues. And, you know, it's more important than ever. On a sad note, in the time that I was taking my little hiatus, unfortunately, the blues venue, Beale Street Northwest, closed. And that's real sad news. It was a great place run by some great people with, dare I say it, great food. And they had just a bunch of the Portland's top talent move through that place playing fantastic music. But as a business venture, it was difficult to continue, and Bob and Margaret had to close it down. And, you know, it's a struggle for any blues venue these days, and they need to see they need not just to see you, but they need to have you put your seats down in those chairs and listen and enjoy the music. Come out and order drinks and food and keep things going. So this weekend, take a look at your blues listings, see who's playing, go out and hear them. And whenever you get the opportunity, be sure to do that. You know this music is best experienced live. There's nothing like the impact of a live blues performance, and you owe it to yourself this weekend to get a good dose. So head out there, please. If you want to get in touch with me here at PDX Bluescast, you can go to our website, www.pdxbluescast.com. You can post a comment right there on the blog, and I'll see that along with everybody else who visits the site. You can also send email to letters@pdxbluescast.com, or like I mentioned a little earlier, you can call the PDX Bluescast hotline, 206-203-3PDX. That's 206-203-3739. Leave us a voicemail message, and unless you ask us not to, we may play it on the air, just like we did Pete's. But I think, you know, that's going to do it for this week. If you are in a band and you'd like to have your music played here on PDX Bluescast, or you know somebody in a band and think that they should be heard, get in touch. Tell your friends in the band to get in touch, using the methods that we mentioned. Probably the email is best, letters@pdxbluescast.com. And like I tell everybody, if I love it, I'll play it. So with that, thank you so much for listening and coming back to the show. We will be back next week with more material, and we plan to be back in weeks to come as well. Until then, my name is Pat McDougall, and I've been your host for PDX Blues Cast. Until I see you next time, keep the blues alive.